Let us give thanks for the return to the house of prayer, even though it is in strange circumstances. May the Lord grant us his presence today and bless his word. I have to just mention, as most, if not everyone knows, as we are meeting under directions given because of the coronavirus, we shall not be singing today. The hymns will be announced as normal, and the organ will play so that we can sing in our hearts, but not audibly. Our first hymn is number 362, and I feel led to read the whole of the hymn before the organ plays. Hymn 362. How pleased and blessed was I to hear the people cry, "Come, let us seek our God today." Yes, with a cheerful zeal, we haste to Zion's hill, and there our vows and honours pay. Zion, thrice happy place, adorned with wondrous grace, and walls of strength embrace thee round. In thee our tribes appear to pray and praise and hear the sacred gospel's joyful sound. There David's greater son has fixed his royal throne. He sits for grace and judgment there. He bids the saints be glad, he makes the sinner sad, and humble souls rejoice with fear. May peace attend thy gate, and joy within thee wait to bless the soul of every guest. The man that seeks thy peace and wishes thy increase, a thousand blessings on him rest. My tongue repeats her vows, peace to this sacred house, for there my friends and kindred dwell. And since my glorious God makes thee his blessed abode, my soul shall ever love thee well. Hymn 362.
Come, let us seek our God today. We'll read three short psalms, then we'll read a portion from the Gospel according to John. Firstly, we'll read Psalm 28. Psalm 28. A psalm of David. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked, and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbours, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds, and according to the wickedness of their endeavours. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever. Now we'll turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Now we'll turn to the 100th Psalm. Psalm 100. A psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. May there be much melody in our hearts today. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And finally, we'll turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, and we'll read the first 17 verses. The Gospel according to John and chapter 13 in the first 17 verses. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. We'll leave the reading of God's holy word there. And may he help us each and give us each a real spirit of prayer. O most merciful and almighty, all-powerful, Lord God, we come before thee this day, before a mighty God, acknowledging our frailty and our weakness. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Once more, but once less, we are able to gather in thy house. Lord, how have we come? What is the desire in our hearts this day? What is the house to me, unless the Master I shall see? In thy wisdom, thou hast seen fit to close this place of worship. And wherever thy word is truly preached up and down this land, these places of worship have been shut for many, many weeks. But now we can come once again into thy court. Once more, we come. But what does it mean unto us? How have we come, dear Lord? How have we come? May we truly search our hearts at these times. And may we never forget that this has been brought upon us as a judgment for our nation, for our churches, and for us as individuals. Search us, Lord, how we have offended thee. Lord, and do we value thy house? Do we worship rightly? Have we idols in our hearts, whatever they may be? Do we worship the fabric of the building rather than the God that dwells therein? Do we come up as those of old that Jeremiah had to prophesy unto, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord? But our hearts do not match our words. They were lying words in Jeremiah's time, and they are lying words now. If we do not seek thee, if that is not our desire, may it be so in the hearts of each one this morning. But if there is one and another that is gathered this day with a hard heart, we thank thee that thou canst soften it in a moment, and may it be so this morning and this day, that each one as we gather may see thy face, may have that communion with thee, may partake of thee spiritually, and gain from it that strength and that joy and that peace which passeth all understanding. Lord, thou knowest. But we praise thy name for thy goodness. And thou knowest each one's pathway in these past weeks and months. And we are so thankful that many have been enabled to come into thy house this day. There are those unable to for one reason and another, and we would not forget them in our prayers. Help them still as they gather at home. May there be something even for them. And may they feel enabled in due time to once again meet in thy house. But as we have been many weeks absent, we would not forget to thank thee that we have been enabled to continue together, to hear thy word. And we believe and we know and testify that it has been a time of blessing. That although we have not been able to gather as we should, thou hast not forsaken us. Thy power is not contained within four walls, within an earthly temple. Thou canst meet with thy people wherever they are, and we are thankful that it has been so. But there is much that we have missed. So we praise thy name now. Lord, do help us each to pour our hearts out before thee now in prayer. And we trust in thee that thou knowest what we need this day. We come into thy house thinking we know what we need. But we rest upon this, that thou art wiser than we. Lord, do supply our needs this day. We pray for those older in years who are feeling frail, those that have been unable to come out, and those that are at home. Thou hast stayed this virus from many, Lord, and we are thankful for it. Pray for those in the midst of life, those with much to occupy their minds, whether in business life, whether in employment. Those who may be fearful of their jobs, whether they will still have employment. Those who know not what is before them. Lord, enable us to put our trust in thee, that thou wilt supply all our needs. Lord, may it be so. We'd remember the mothers at home, those who educate the children at home, and do normally, and those who are unaccustomed to it and have been put in this new way. Give them much strength as they have to do these additional things. And may it be a time of blessing to the families as they have this time together. May thy hand be seen in all things. For nothing is out of thy control, and may we ever fear it. The fictitious powers of chance and fortune I defy. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to thine eye. And we would pray for the young people and the children, those who are unable to carry on their lives as they normally would do, those who may have missed many things that they would have expected to do. Lord, help them, and above all, do work in their hearts while they are young, that they may have that love to thee, to thy house, to thy people, and that another generation may be served up, may be raised up to serve thee in thy house, that thy name may be honoured and praised. That the places of worship may be built up. O Lord, may it be so. And we pray for those that have had many disappointments in these past months. things which have had to be put to one side, things which should have taken place, which cannot take place. May they trust in thee, knowing that thou art the true and only wise God. May we not glibly pray for submission, but truly bow under it, Lord. How hard these things are to walk the pathway, however difficult it is. But if we can trust in thee, that thou hast put it in our way for our eternal good, it is a soft place to rest upon, an all-wise God. Pray for those in positions of responsibility in this church, the deacons in all that they do, and those who have had much to occupy their minds this past week in preparing this place of worship once more. It may be strange unto us. We may not feel comfortable with it completely, but may we remember it is because thy judgments are upon us. But may we be lifted above these things. May they be removed from our thoughts and our minds. We would see Jesus. Oh Lord, may we have a glimpse this day. May we have a glimpse of thy beauty. May we have a glimpse of thy preciousness, thy suitability, thy power and thy might. Everything else will pale into insignificance if thou dost deign to bless us this day. May it be so. We pray for this village that this house of God is in. As those Bibles are placed on the doorstep and many are taken, may they have their eyes opened as they read thy word. May they not just be words upon a page, but may they be living words that enter into the hearts of one and another that read it. That they abide, that they search, that they do good. May there be many wrought upon to fill this house once more. Many sinners brought to feel their need of a Saviour. Many unconverted to be wrought upon to come and testify of thy grace. Lord, may it be so. May this time be a time of real building up. For eternity and death is before each one of us. It has been brought sharply into our focus, Lord. May it be for our good to ponder these things. We pray for those that have lost loved ones during this time. We can become numbed with the numbers. 100 here, 1,000 there, 10,000 here, 100,000 there. It is a father or a mother, a grandfather or a grandmother, a son or a daughter to one or another that has been taken from this life to eternity. But Lord, we trust in this, that it is not a moment too early. None can be removed from this earth a moment too early, for it is all appointed of thee. So we have to pray, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. But we thank thee that thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace, all of it, Lord. There is nothing that we can do. Nothing that we can do to save ourselves. And that is in what we hope, Lord. That is our only hope. My hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. So be merciful unto us now. We gather round thy word. Lord, open our eyes to be with this poor man here as he stands before this people. It is thy will, Lord, that this is the case. May we see the reason behind it. May it be a day of true blessing, a day of true praise. Lord, thou knowest each one's pathway this morning. I don't. Lord, do touch them, we pray, for the good of their never dying souls. We leave these things with thee, for thou art mighty. Do empty this poor man of anything that is of self, and do pour in that I can pour out. May we greatly feel thy power, Lord, greatly feel it, the power of the Holy Spirit in our midst. For our days are short. Our days are short, and we know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. So work this day. Lord, we beg. We beg of thee now. Come with power into the hearts of each one. Everyone, Lord, may none be left behind, from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, do appear this day. Do forgive, Lord, anything and all that I have asked amiss. That which I have in my weakness forgotten to pray for, may it have been prayed for in the pew. May there be that uniting together of our prayers now, and may they be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask all these things for thy dear name's sake. Amen.
Let us sing sing in our hearts hymn 481. Descend from heaven, immortal dove, stoop down and take us on thy wings, and mount and bear us far above the reach of these inferior things. Hymn 481.
Before we turn to the Word of God this morning, I feel I must, or ought to, just make a few remarks. How have we come to the house of God this morning, dear friends? I felt led to read those three psalms. There was a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm of repentance, a psalm of seeking the Lord. And really, we need all of those. Because this, the time that we are in, is an exceedingly solemn time. This is the only time in my lifetime, and I probably believe in the lifetimes of each of us here this morning, where we have not been able to meet in the house of God. We can say God's judgments are upon us as a land. They are. We're a part of this land. We can say God's judgments are upon us as a church. And they most definitely are, because the places of worship have been shut. God, in his wisdom, could have caused another war to come upon this land, and these places of worship could have remained open. They did not. They had to be shut. God's judgment is upon us. But not just as a nation and as churches, but as individuals. I don't know all of your cases, but I believe most, if not all, have probably gone to the house of the Lord since you were children. And maybe that is part of our problem. We don't value it. We don't know why we come. We come because it's a Sunday and that's what we've always done. We need to know the Lord. Those psalms we read. Me, 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 me. The psalmist was praying for himself. We need to know the only true God, personally. What do we know of these things? May we know a little of it today. Above the top of the hymn that we have just sung in our hearts, the sight of God and Christ in heaven. May we know a little of it today. In complete dependence upon the Lord, both in the preaching and the hearing of the word. Oh, direct your attention to the gospel according to John and chapter 13. And we'll take for our text verse 7. The gospel according to John, chapter 13 and verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. God is a God of providence. God is in control of everything. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. If we do not believe that, dear friends, then you may as well go home now. Because if we do not believe that God is in control of absolutely everything, every atom in this universe, we do not believe there is a God. So, if God is a God of providence, God has ordained everything that we have had to walk in these past few months when this virus has caused such severe restrictions upon us. In our daily lives, some of us may have been able to carry on almost as normal. Some of us may have been busier than normal. Some of us may have had our employment removed from us. It's all God's doing. Some of you may have had very dark paths to walk in, providentially. Some of you may have had things planned, and rightly so, to take place during this time. Some of you may have been exceedingly disappointed by God's appointments. Some of you may have questioned, if God loves me, if God is a God of love, why has he done this to me? Why has this trial come in my pathway? Because, dear friends, you needed it. You needed it. You may not be able to see why, but may we be kept from questioning God's wisdom. It is a solemn thing to be brought into that place of resentment for what God has caused to come upon us. I know, because I have been there. I don't want to speak of myself, but I will just bring this out. Just over 6 years ago this past week, my dear father was taken from this earth suddenly. I resented it. I questioned God's wisdom. It was not long after I was baptized. How can this be right, Lord? You must have made a mistake. And God solemnly withdrew his comfort from me and abandoned me. Dear friends, view this text this morning as something of comfort. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. We question naturally. We say sometimes maybe, and we should rightly search ourselves, is it something I have done? Is it because of my sins that this has come upon me? Well, dear friends, God does not judge us according to our iniquities, or who shall stand? God is wise. He brings us into pathways because he sees fit to do so. Not because of what we deserve, otherwise we could earn our salvation. He gives us what he sees fit to give us. And may we humbly bow before him. Otherwise, why did Job have to suffer such great affliction? Why is the account of Job even in the Word of God? It is to show unto us that we do not get what we deserve. We get what God sees fit to give us. We have the words of Christ when there were those calamities in the temple in Luke 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. There was that slaughter in the house of the Lord, we believe. And he says also that account where those towers fell upon a certain group of people. It was not because of their sins that these things happened to them. God will judge sin. But we cannot judge God. Jesus said, "Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so I say to you this morning, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. It comes into our minds, doesn't it, when these things happen. Why? Why? But maybe we would be wiser to say, what? What? What do these things mean, Lord? What is your purpose behind? If we trust that thou doest all things according to thy wisdom, shall we not say and ask, what do they mean? What do they mean to me? That is what Saul was brought to. What did he say on that road to Emmaus? He was struck down. Surely he must have thought he was going to die. That great light round about him. He fell to the earth under the power of it. But what did he say? He was trembling. He was astonished. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? What do these things mean? Lord, guide me. These pricks, they're hard to kick against. But we do, don't we? But those pricks, those difficult things in our life, are there for a reason. And may it be that they will draw us nearer to the Lord, that we may have that closer walk with him, that we may have more of a knowledge of him, that it may work in the hearts of the unconverted to feel their lost case by nature, that it may work in those that have put their trust in the Lord, to cause them to grow in grace, that nothing may be left without a cause. We may know that it is the Lord's doing and be able to say, as dear Eli said, it is good in his eyes. It is good in his eyes. What I do, thou knowest not now. Well, how many of you are here this morning? What I do, thou knowest not now. But there is a but in our text. And how thankful we should be for those little words in God's word. But thou shalt know hereafter. There's no doubt in that, is there, dear friends? Doesn't say thou might know. Doesn't say you could know. Thou shalt know hereafter. It will be revealed at one point or another unto you. The reasons why. It is through much tribulation the Lord's people have to walk. It is through much trial and difficulty and distress that the Lord's people must walk. But if he is our shepherd, I shall not want. You shall not want. We shall not want. If the Lord is our shepherd, he careth for his sheep. He knows what you need and when you need it. The shepherd that cares for his sheep. When we are lambs, when we are sick and frail, he carries us in his arms. But when we grow, he puts things in our pathway to trouble us. He puts us down upon the ground and causes us to walk through the fields of this life. We may stumble into a ditch. We may get stuck in a hedge. We may break our foot or our leg. We may limp along. But if he is our shepherd, he's looking out for you. If he is your shepherd, he's looking out for you. He will not forsake you. His rod and his staff, they're there to comfort you. Not to afflict you, but for your own good. Not to cause you distress, but to keep you safe. All these things are planned and predetermined in life's journey. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. My thoughts go to that hymn. Number 315. Why through darksome paths we go, we may know no reason. Yet we shall hereafter know, each in his due season. Could we see how all is right? Where were room for credence or belief? But by faith and not by sight, Christians yield obedience. Let all fruitless searches go, which perplex and tease us. We determine naught to know, but a bleeding Jesus. If we can lift our eyes from our circumstances, if we can look to a bleeding Jesus, what will we find there? We'll find comfort. We'll find peace. We'll find rest. We'll be submissive to Almighty God. We determine naught to know, but a bleeding Jesus. That's what I need to look to, dear friends. That's what you need to look to. That's what each one here this morning needs to look to. If we have gone through these past few months, and it has had no effect on you, dear friends, think and tremble, for death is now upon the road. If any of you, last time I were here, could have prophesied to me that this was to happen, I'll let you off of this one. But do you know if we'll be here next week? Do you know if we'll be here next month? Do you know if we'll be here next year? May I take this a little deeper? Do you know if you'll be alive next week? Do you know if you'll be alive next month? Do you know if you'll be alive next year? We have become so detached from death and eternity in the culture in which we live. And there has been a reason why that is the case. Because we don't want to think on these things. Why? Because they cause us concern. They cause us trouble. They cause us fear. We must ponder them. We must ponder them. Because we truly do not know what is around the corner. You may think, well, maybe you're going over the top. Maybe I am. Maybe you're wiser than me. I don't know. What do I know? That we need to know, each of us, before we are placed in the grave, our interest in a bleeding Jesus. So, shall we go a little deeper into our text? We can look at these things providentially. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. We can't see everything clearly. But what is this portion of Scripture all about? The washing of the disciples' feet. The washing of Simon Peter. Aren't you thankful sometimes, dear friends, that there are all sorts of characters in the Word of God? There are the Marys, there are the Marthas, there are the Peters, there are the Davids. They are all there for a reason. Peter could see Jesus pouring water into a basin, girding himself with a towel. He came to Peter And Peter said to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. He literally was going to know in a few minutes' time. But what did Peter say? Thou shalt never wash my feet. If you are sitting in this chapel, dozing off, unconcerned, only come today because it is the Lord's day, those are the words in your heart. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus is clear. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. If we do not have an interest in that precious blood, thou hast no part with me. Does that concern you, dear friend? Does it trouble you? As I've said, we know not when we will be taken from this earth. Are you ready? Do you humbly hope you have an interest in this bleeding Jesus? Or are you a stranger to it? If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. But what did Simon Peter reply? Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my feet. He felt his need of washing. He felt strongly his need of washing. He felt his sinfulness. Do you feel dirty this morning? If I may speak to you children just for a moment. You have had to come into this chapel. You have had to put that hand sanitizer on your hands. Because your hands may be dirty. You and we each have taken those right precautions. I look at my hands now. They look clean to me. Relatively. But there could be something nasty lurking on them. And unless the Lord works in your hearts and opens your eyes to see that you are a sinner, you will not see your need of having your hands washed, or your feet washed, or your body washed. But if I could shine a light on your hands this morning, and you could see every particle of dirt and virus, and could see what damage it could cause you, you would go to your parents and say, I need to wash my hands. Mum, Dad, I'm dirty. I need washing. And so it will be if the Lord opens your eyes. If the Lord shines in your heart and shows you your need, shows you the dirt that you have on you, you'll feel your need of washing. You will feel your need of it because you will see the dirt. May he open our eyes to see that we are each of us sinners and to the reality of it. That if we are not washed from our sins, thou hast no part with me. Well, you may say, maybe I do know a little of my sins. I feel to be a sinner. But I don't know if I know enough of my sins. Dear friends, if you know a little of the justness of God, if you have one unwashed sin, one particle of dirt that has not been removed from you, your eternal destiny is clear. It will not be heaven, it will be eternal hell. But you may say, was it for me? Yes, I believe I am a sinner. Yes, I believe I am not clean. But was that precious blood spilt for me? And that is the point, dear friends, we need to know. So we read those Psalms. He said time after time after time, me, me, me. He needed to know these things personally. And so do we each. What is needed, you may say. I know I'm wrong. I know I am a sinner. But did he die for me? Well, dear friends, you tell me. Who did Christ come to this earth to save? He came to call the sinners, and not the righteous, to repentance. He came to call the sinners. But you may say, what do I need to do to merit that spilt blood? I do not feel to have enough faith. I do not feel to be holy enough. I do not feel to be near enough to the Lord. I do not feel I have had enough revealed unto me. How can I follow this precious Saviour? How can I follow after him? What do I know of these things? I don't know enough. What did the disciples know when they followed him? He saith unto them, follow me. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Straightway they left their nets. We don't hear of the questions, do we? What about this? What about that? We do in other portions of Scripture. Those that questioned what they must do. Those who felt they could not follow the Lord. Jesus saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They didn't have to make themselves right. They didn't have to come bearing gifts and sacrifices, and neither do you. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. Why? Because if you feel your need, you only feel it for one reason. Because by his love, he has drawn you unto him. By his love, he has begun working in your heart. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. This he gives you, 'tis the Spirit's rising beam. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If ye tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. If you tarry in following after the Lord, you will never come at all. If you come until you have made yourself righteous by yourself, worked out your own salvation, you will never come at all. It is by faith, and by faith alone, by his grace, nothing else. We cannot draw ourselves unto the Lord. But has he worked in your heart? Has he made you feel your need? Do you feel your need of washing? It's only because he's made you feel it. He's put a new heart within you because you didn't feel like that once, did you? You haven't always felt to be unrighteous. You once upon a time, you would have walked along and been fine with your life. But through his ultimate wisdom, he has opened your eyes. He has caused you to know your need. As Peter had opened to him his need of washing. May it be so this morning, dear friends. For if we are not washed, we have no part with him. We have no part in his crucifixion. We have no part in his shed blood. We have no part in his broken body. We have no part in his resurrection. We have no part in his ascension. And we will have no part in his glorification. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. We don't go to the doctors unless we feel sick. We don't go to Jesus unless we feel we are sinners. And it is only as God works in us, only as God in his wisdom puts things in our pathway, difficult circumstances, to draw us unto him. That's why they're there, dear friends. One burden upon another is put upon you. One difficulty upon another is placed upon you. When life is easy, I speak for myself. How often do I pray? But when the Lord, in the wisdom of his providence, piles trouble upon trouble upon trouble upon you, it weighs you down, it bears you down, it forces you down onto your knees. And that's a good place to be, dear friends. It's a good place to be. It's the only place to be. In time of trouble, in time of happiness, upon our knees before an almighty God. And it's not our own working that will put us on our knees. Are you a praying soul now? Have you always been? What's changed? Yes, you have changed. But if God controls every atom in this world, it's not you that's changed yourself. It's the Lord that has changed you. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And if he is doing that work, we can be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If that work has begun in you, dear friends, it will continue. If by grace that work has begun, It cannot be undone. It cannot be rowed back upon. Something after another, after another, after another, whether in the study of God's word, whether in the preaching of God's word, whether in prayer, things will be brought to your remembrance. The word will enter into your position and pathway. The Lord will open you up to come to him for salvation, to flee from yourself, to trust in him, and that you, like Peter, may say, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And in one way, this is why these times have been so solemn. We have the means of grace, worshipping in God's house. It has been removed from us. We have the ordinances of God's house, baptism and the Lord's Supper. They have been removed from us. You may say, well, we can worship at home, can't we? I was quite happy at home. I could lay in bed a little longer. I could listen to the services of the Lord in my armchair. That's not the way that God ordained things in his word. We are to gather together, physically, where able. We are to be drawn together. And how thankful we are for it. To look out upon you now and to realise that everyone in this chapel has a never-dying soul. And to realise that everyone in this chapel must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. To see your faces, to look into your eyes, adds a dimension of solemnity to the ministry of God's word. For if you do not hear the words of the Lord, that you are washed. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me, with me. Is this your last Lord's Day here? I don't know. Is it mine? I don't know. But we need to be washed, dear friends. We need to be prepared. And are there those things undone that we should have done? Have we remained silent when we should have spoken? Have we made a profession when we should have professed? We don't know what's before us, dear friend. May it cause us much searching of heart. But time has nearly gone. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. If these past few weeks and months, paths of difficulty, have brought you to feel your need, there'll be a time of real blessing, dear friends. If they have brought you to know your need of that washing in that precious blood, they will be for your benefit. My mind goes to that hymn of Medley in the beginning of the book. God shall alone the refuge be and comfort of my mind, too wise to be mistaken he, too good to be unkind. What, though I can't his goings see, nor all his footsteps find, too wise to be mistaken he, too good to be unkind. Hereafter he will make me know, and I shall surely find, he was too wise to err, and oh, too good to be unkind. Well, I believe that hymn was written after the death of one of his children as they careered down the road in their pram, down that hill. Do you think he felt that then? But what did he rest upon, dear friends? What did that dear man rest upon? He rested upon the wisdom of God. The pillow that he laid upon was this text: what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And dear friends, if it brings you to the foot of the cross, if it brings you to a bleeding Jesus, then it is for your eternal good. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Amen.
The collections today, if convenient, please continue to use bank transfer. If you wish to use cash, please place your donation in the boxes at the ends of the aisles or in the lobbies. God willing, Mr. Cottingham will preach to us at 6:30 this evening. He also hopes to address the children in chapel at 2:30 this afternoon, each family in their own seats. And this address will also be available on Mixlr and by telephone. Mrs. Victoria Curley's class will be on Zoom at 2:30. Tomorrow evening there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation at 7 o'clock with an address by Mr. Adrian Pickett. On Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, Mr. Fred Ince is expected to preach for us. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Philip Warren at 10:30 and 6:30. And the Sunday school will all be on Zoom that day. And after the benediction, would you kindly listen to the announcement? Our hymn is number 1063. Nothing know we of the season, when the world shall pass away, but we know the saints have reason to expect a glorious day, when the Saviour will return and his people cease to mourn. Hymn 1063.
do. Bless that which has been of thee this morning, and forgive anything that has been of myself. Brethren, let us think of this. All is ours, if we are his. All is ours if we are washed in that precious blood. Everything that we can ever need is ours. May we search our hearts. May we leave nothing undone which should be done. May we honour and glorify thee and praise thy name while we can. May we search our hearts to see if there is anything therein offensive in thy sight. Do open the eyes of each one here. Keep us during the interval of service. Be with those that gather this evening. And be with us as we gather for the Sunday school this afternoon. Be with all thy people, dear Lord. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each. Amen.
This is a reminder of how we are to leave the house of prayer in these circumstances. To maintain social distancing, please will you proceed as follows. The south aisle over there, to exit through the door beside the pulpit and through the entrance outside, and the north aisle to exit through the main entrance as usual, and the gallery to follow after that aisle has finished. And please keep social distance of 2 metres or 6 feet and use hand sanitizer at the exit. And lastly, would you kindly not congregate outside the chapel, but proceed on your way. Thank you.